Well, I appreciate your prayers. I'd like to look at the 95th Psalm. Start with the first verse. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. Particularly interested in the fourth verse, but I'd like to comment a little on the third. For the Lord is a great God. Well, I hope that we all have that very well established tonight in our minds. I think it's very essential that we believe that. That we know that our Lord is a great God. There is nothing that he can't do. There's nothing he don't know. There's absolutely nothing that pertains to our life that he isn't interested in. He's a great God. And I think the basis of our faith has to start with the greatness of God. He can't fail. If he's a failure to us, then there's not much to trust in. He can't be a failure in any way, shape, or form. He can't be. Or we're in trouble. Men fail. Things fail. Mechanics fail. All kinds of things fail. But God can't fail. If God fails, then we're in trouble from the start. And God doesn't fail. Never fails. God is always right. And he never fails. And it must be a very solid place to us. No matter what is going on, it may be my fault. It may be your fault. It might be others' fault. It might be an organization's fault. It might be the country's fault. But it isn't God's fault because he doesn't fail. This scripture also says, and a great king above all gods. I don't think this was in any way trying to get any validity to the idea that there was other gods real. But I think it does speak to the idea of people that would believe in other gods. Think of this. Men made gods in the ancient time. But they did it with God's things. I mean, this is what he's claiming here. You go make a god out of stone, my stone. Whatever man could form, chip, carve, whittle, whatever he could make, he was working on God's stuff. God was king and master of it. Do you know God knows the elements of it? God knows right down to the molecules of it. God made it and therefore he could say he was king of it. He's king of any of the substances that they could make. You know there's nothing on the earth today used by men, thought of men, whatever they do or come up with, they're only using God's thing. People think they're creative. They're not creative. There's creative people in the using of a creator's stuff. He already made this stuff. He actually made your mind, created your mind that you could be able to use his stuff in a way. Actually, he only made us in his image that we could think like that anyway. It was God that's the king of it. He's king of it. Not only that, if you think maybe that's stretching it, think of this idea then. The gods aren't real. But the attributes they gave them were. They were God of the Nile. Nile's real. They was God of the stars. There's real stars. There was a sun god, a moon god. Those things are all real. There was gods of the river. There was gods of the fields. There was gods of the plains and gods of the mountains. All the attributes they gave him to say that they was able to do this or able to do that. They can make a storm come up or they can make it die off. All these things, the attributes, God's king of them. So we could say, I use king of all the gods. This is, our God is God of all, God of everything. I think it's very important to us that he's that kind of a God. When we set him up to be that kind of a God, not in just in intelligence, but really out of our hearts, God is God Almighty. He is a great King above all things. He's master of everything then. Well, then, why then does these things bother me so much? God is able to manipulate and use the things of this world that seem so, opposite to his plan and his ways. He's still king of them. He's king of it all. The fourth verse then says, in his hand are the deep places of the earth. The deep places, the way I understand this, is not just deep, but it's talking about beyond the sight of men. Beyond man's hand. More than that, beyond his capability. Beyond the deepest mind that was ever made. Beyond the deepest hole that was ever drilled. Beyond the furthest flight ever flown. Outside of any Hubble telescope's ability to see, all to the deepest place, it's God's. Well, that's interesting, and it sure tells what God is. There's not a crevice in the deepest sea that's beyond him. It may be on us. There's not a crack anywhere in the earth's surface that God isn't aware of. But I think he wrote that for more reason than to tell us that he did. I think we understand that. I think if God made the universe, he surely knows there's a crack down there. So it's pretty easy for me to accept that, but I think there's something much more for us to consider here. I've pondered this, and I'm going to take a lot of liberty here, but I've pondered this all my saved life. And I think, you know me, I'm a Church of God man. I love the church. I love the purity. I love the teachings. Absorbed it. It's me. But I have noticed in my life of living for the Lord that there is in among the it many deficiencies in the people. I've noticed that there is times of time. I mean, I could name you over and over and over again these things. And I can't do anything about that, but I have to be concerned with me. Yes, I do. I have to be able to say, because I don't believe there's a blindness more prevalent or easier obtained than a blindness to oneself. I believe the easiest blindness that anybody can come up on is a blindness about their own life. So I have to consider this as I think about a God that sees down into the idea, to the depths of the earth, to the crevices of it. I think he wants us to get the idea of that this isn't unknown to God. I think we all ought to open our heart. This is the beginning message of a revival meeting. The Lord wants us to open up ourselves to the Lord's dealings in the recesses of our lives, in the deepest places of our lives. You and you and me, everybody is prone to self-blindness. We're prone to it. We're prone to put the best shade on the things of our own life. We're prone to it. Lord, help us to be able to open our hearts up and really allow the Lord to deal with what's in the deepest crevices beyond human sight, beyond human hand, beyond human's ability to dig up, understand, or know what it is that promotes certain things about my life. That's God's place. It's only God's place. No one can do it. Nobody can go in and find what's in the deep places of our lives. But I am very aware as I look. It wasn't a criticism. It was an awareness that I understand something. I'm prone to it too. If I'm not careful, I'm prone to it too. You're prone. We're all prone to it. And I've seen, someone said something to me just recently. I was asking them something. I was talking about their life and all, and they made a comment and said, well, we was in the church, but we were hypocrites. All my growing up, my family was hypocrites. When we was around the saints, we looked like saints, talked like saints, didn't the saints. But when we went home, we did everything saints don't do. That's what we did. This person was very faithful. Now I have a lot of confidence in him. But they were saying, this is what we did. This is what we all did. You know, honestly, folks, that isn't uncommon. It isn't uncommon. You know, it's possible to live 20, 30, 40, 50 years with the Lord and never conquer, never have a victorious life. Have the beginnings, but never really allow God. This is what God wants. God wants to be able to shine the light into the recesses, into the crevices, into the places where you and I can't go ourselves. We can't see it. We don't understand it. So we can't go there. I think the psalmist in the 139th Psalm must have thought this way when he said, David said, in the 23rd verse of the 139th chapter, search me. Why? Didn't he see himself? Didn't he understand who he was? Didn't he know in and out who he was? Didn't he know his history, his past? Didn't he know how he performed? Couldn't he calculate all of that down, draw a line and get a sum that said who he was? Search me. Look into the places beyond my view. Beyond what I can see. I can see some responses about things, but I can't see no farther than that. I feel things sometimes. You ever feel things sometimes and say, that's the wrong thing to feel. It comes from a crack somewhere. Comes from a crevice of life somewhere. Maybe those things happen and it's something that we're supposed to deal with. But I want to tell you, sometimes there's envy, jealousy, covetousness that boils out in people's lives and causes frictions and things. And it's been there for years and years and years and years. Never dealt with, never saw, never even looked at this. Behavioral patterns. I know God's got victory, folks. God is a victorious God. This is it. Our Lord is a great God. He's a great God. Search me, David said, O God, and know my heart. You mean he didn't know it himself? I got a good heart. I know what's in my heart. I know what it likes, what it don't like. I know how it responds. I know my heart. I know my heart. David must have said, honestly, I don't know my heart. I think David, after his failures, was willing to say, I don't know my heart. I didn't realize that that was there. I didn't understand that I was so close to destruction. I was so close to hideous things. I didn't realize that I was that capable of that close to those kind of things. You know your heart? This is almost like, we know God already knows, but it's the desire for God to reveal it. God knows us, but that cry is to say, let me know. Do something about it. Do something about it. Brother Jim White, very special man to me, one of my best friends. Great example. Shortly after I started ministering, Brother Jim came to me and said, Brother Marty, I'm going to talk to you. Okay, Brother Jim, what do you want to talk about? Well, I want to apologize to you. Brother, I laughed. Do you apologize to me? What do you apologize to me for? Brother Marty, I've been envious towards you. You started ministering, the Lord's blessing you, and I got an envy in my heart. And I want you to forgive me, because I don't want it to be there. I want to clear us up. Search me, oh God. That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. Be honest about the crevices, the recesses. Be honest about, he saw He saw something come up in him. He didn't tell me how long it was there. He just told me, I've got these feelings and I want it to be cleared. I appreciate it. It made me trust Brother Jim. He had something. It's about his life. I want to make it right. I want to do it. Search me, O Lord. Know my heart. Try me. Are you willing to be tried? Are you willing to be tried that you can know you really know who you are? They're trying sometimes bulls stuff out of the crevices. Sometimes it brings it to the surface so you can see what it is. Sometimes that's the way it works. Now you probably have heard this before, but one time when I actually had only been saved a little over a year, less than two, and I knew that you were supposed to act right. I knew that much. You're not supposed to act ugly and be ugly and you're supposed to have an act. You're supposed to act right. I know you're supposed to act right. So I acted right. Best I could. I acted right. And I kept acting right. But I never dealt with the issues. Issues would come up and I'd act right. And the issues would come up and I'd act right. Till one day, me and my wife was going off of Miller Mountain in Webster County, driving down through there, and we had, saints, we ought to put this right, we had a disagreement. We had a difference of opinion. And I had been swallowing this for a year and a half. I was acting right. Anyway, was coming off of there, and the top come off. I blew up. Went skidding in. I slammed on the brakes, went sliding. I was saved, and I'm still going to testify that I was saved. But I was swallowing. I was swallowing all this, and I wasn't taking care of all these things. And it was building in me like a volcano. Just swallowing it down, folks, is a hard thing to do. Swallowing it down. I wasn't dependent on God's grace. I wasn't looking to God's grace. Marty was showing his fortitude and was swallowing and acting right. Kept acting right. Because good saints act right. And I acted right. But in the crevices, in the thing. And God allowed. I say God allowed. It happened. God is a great God. I went sliding in on the road. It scared my wife. It was really hard to get her in the car with me driving after that. I had some things I have to deal with about that. I had some apologizing. I had some dealing. I had to go to the altar. I had to deal with it. I had to have a minister come and deal with me. What is this? This is what I've done. And Brother Tony went and he said, no, that's not what you do. That's not the way you deal with it. You got to get the victory. I want to talk about victory. We can have victory. You can have victory. It's what God wants you to have is victory. You can have victory over self. You can have victory over these things. God sees it all together. So he said, try me and know my thoughts and see. This is David. And see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. It didn't sound to me like he was confident that he knew himself. Is there a wicked way in me? Is it possible that I have a recess somewhere beyond human minds, somewhere beyond? Well, I mean, where God could see, is it possible that there's something that works and affects my life that only God can see, and it comes out every once in a while in the ways of flesh, in the ways of the world? God's got a remedy. He's made a remedy for those situations. I want to tie this with another scripture. Oh, let's go to 1 Samuel. Bring out about a certain individual. 1 Samuel 18. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy and instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. I think that's kind of like they were doing their little song thing, and one of them says, who has killed their thousands? Saul has killed his thousands, they repeat. Who has killed their 10,000s? David has killed his 10,000s. That's kind of this little jingle it sounds like they're doing. And Saul was very wroth. Why? It's amazing. Why? And the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000. To me they have ascribed but 1,000. And what can he have more but the kingdom? The Lord is a great God. Saul, the Lord is a great God. If he wants you to keep the kingdom, you'll keep it. And if he wants it took from you, it's gone. Understand how this works? Why was he wroth at the man that was his underling? He should have been thankful for David. To have somebody that absolutely was loyal. And you can go back up here and read. And it says that he done everything Saul wanted him to do. Well, would you like to have somebody under you that you can say go and he'd go? Go prepare for battle and he'd go. And have such faithful. I can't get anybody to do that. Well, my children will do it after some prompting. But this guy was faithful. Jealousy's mean. Envy's mean, folks. It's mean. This is mean. Why would someone be jealous of somebody else in the congregation that gets a nice new house? Do you know you're a beneficiary of everything that happens to a congregation? If somebody does better, you're better for it.
That's right.
They could do real bad and then you'd be taking up offerings for them. Honestly, I always say, thank the Lord they're blessed. Because it's a benefit to me. I hope everybody gets rich. I hope everybody has plenty as it prospers their soul. I wish they'd all do well. I couldn't be hurt by it. I can only be helped by those around me being blessed. For me to say there's a minister and the Lord's really blessing him, that bothers me. I'm going to tell you, don't bother me when the Lord blesses the brothers. I appreciate it because I might have invited somebody to the meeting and they might come. And I wouldn't want to be embarrassed by the Lord not blessing. I want the Lord to bless all our brothers. I hope everybody that sings is good. All the blessing. Do you understand? It's a mean, mean thing. You're not ever, ever profited by jealousy. By envies, by covetousness, by those things in the crevices of the heart, you're never, ever, ever going to be blessed by it. It's a poison. It's a poison. Saul was so jealous of David didn't even do it. David didn't do anything but being faithful. It was some women. To come out there singing. Maybe they shouldn't have riled him up like that. But I'm going to tell you, down inside Saul, he may have stood up tall. He may have had jewels on. He may have looked like a king. But he didn't have a king's heart. He had dirtiness down in the crevices down in there that nobody could have probably pointed but God. And we can trace some of it to pride. We can trace some of it to some of the things. You can trace it back to a place. Had the scripture not said it, we'd have never known. But God knows where the deep places are and the deep places of the earth. God wants to heal those places in our life. And this is an opportunity. It's an opportunity. Not because I'm here, it's because God, our Lord, is a great God. And He has decided and planned a revival here for us to work on ourselves in an opportunity of time, a space of time. To be able to humble our hearts before the Lord and say, Lord, in this process of time, dig me out, root me out, show me who I am, show me where I'm at. Don't let me be blinded to my own self, but let me see what you say. Bring it out so I can understand it. Let me see. Let me measure my feelings. The way I feel about things is a good barometer of what's going on. Why do I feel these things? Lord, help us. There's victory. There's victory in the Lord. I've seen God work on me and help me to overcome things that I couldn't even see where they was coming from until the Lord brought them out. So this is what happens. It came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. You ever throw a hammer? You ever smite your finger and throw a hammer? Have you? There's the javelin in his hand. He's playing music for this guy. An absolutely faithful. Who would you get rid of if you could? Who would you make less if you could? Lord, help us. Want to look at another scripture? Oh, I see. This is in Isaiah. First chapter of Isaiah. Oh, let's see. 18th verse. It says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. My understanding of this scripture, the word scarlet in particular, is very interesting. The way they made a garment scarlet, they take wool, which is white, cleaned, ready, they dye it in a red. Then they dye it again. The only way you can get scarlet is to double dye it. Put it in twice. That's interesting to me, because that's exactly what happened to us. We've been double dipped. It's sin. We're sinners by nature, an Adamic nature. All people are. All people are sinful. But then we have a double dipping. We are sinners by choice. We come to an age that sin nature propels us into a choice of sin. So there's a double dipping there. But the promise of God is, the promise of the gospel was, that there'd be an element that come. Man can't go there. You can try to get all the wise men of the earth together and all the studying. You can get all the information on the internet together. You cannot solve the sin situation. This thing is deeper than any man can go to find the answer to. This is a place that you can't heal it yourself. You can't do it. How are you going to do it? And this idea was, would you like the job of trying to get the scarlet out of and get it completely white again? What agent would you use once it's dyed red scarlet to a place that the dew wouldn't affect it, the rain wouldn't affect it, jumping in the river don't affect it, it's red. Now what are you going to do to get the dye out of the wool? Double dipped in, how are you going to be able to get that out until it's back white as snow again? Back to wool again. What are you going to do? How are you going to do that? Beyond the capability of man to do it, but God made a solution. Jesus has a solution to the sin problem. He can take away the first, but folks, He can take away the second too. I believe that. I mean, God has a work for our hearts. I believe God can go and take care of those things. I've seen people that got serious about their souls, and God just do a wonderful work on them. I've been skeptical. I'm not skeptical of God. I'm skeptical of humanity. And I've been skeptical before, and lo and behold, it happens. This old guy that's lived this way all this time, he's had a profession and he's lived pretty good, but he's got these things that just stick out and everybody knows it. And then he comes down to a place and he just seeks God. And God does a work volume. And changing, he starts testifying altogether different and changing and altering this scripture. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Your sins are scarlet. They shall be white as snow. What a promise of victory that the Lord has for us. A promise of being able, if we desire, because I believe there's an element that God will not ride over. If you like your crevice, you like what's hidden down in there, you can keep it. God will only work around it. He will preach to it. He will call you for it. He will do what he can for it. But if you have a reason for wanting that thing, you can keep it. But you cannot get away from the consequences of it. You can't get away from what it will do and how it will perform and what it will be. And God only is the judge of the end of life. Of what that has done for your life, God is the judge of it. But Lord, help us to be able to say to the Lord, Lord, look down deep. Deeper than I've ever been willing to go before. Find out why I'm dysfunctional. I don't like being dysfunctional. I want to be functional within God's people. I want to be functional within my family. I want to be functional within my neighborhood. I want to be able to be functional without always something coming up about me. Lord, help me. Some folks over in Revelations, third chapter of Revelations, said of themselves, I'm rich. This is 3:17. I'm rich. And increasing goods, and I have need of nothing. That was their perception of themselves. Perfect shape. Right on the bullseye. Got it just right. I'm there. I've arrived. You want to know how to arrive? Ask me. I'm there. These people had got there. You think they saw themselves or had a case of self-blindness appeared to them? What had caused them to do that? Something had made them lose track of what it all was about. And they got into position. No doubt this was a wealthy place. They had things. All these things. They looked at themselves and said, we are an example of a Christian church right here. It's us. That's the way they saw themselves. But the God that owns the deep places looked in there and said, not so. Not so at all. You're missing it all. Now listen again, think about it. It's the places that man don't see. He can never dig to it. He can never drill to it. There is no psychology. There is no, intelligence. There's no capability. We can add, we can strike. We've got great intellectual capabilities of our time. We have great computer systems. None of them in any program that a man can ever do can reach into this idea, this place. This is totally spiritual idea. This is a place beyond the capability of man to find. I see myself a certain way. I'll acknowledge I do every man's ways right in his own eyes. If I wasn't doing it right, I'd change it. But my way's right. But here was people that had it right. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Total opposites. Well, I'm just a slave. I've been a part of the church of God for 50 years. Well, I can't say. I can say it 20-something. I've been a part of the church of God now for 20. But next year, in 2015, I'll have been full-time 20 years. So I've got to see it right. I mean, how could you not see it right? Got it all right.
But they were so wrong. I don't want to be so wrong. I know we can go on with the facade. We can go on and play the games. We can go on and be that professing thing. We can go on and do all that. We can go on and be just the same as we've always been. I never pay attention to that at all. And you won't see it or won't do it. But God says that He owns the deep places. There are in His hand. There is hand. The deep places are understood by God. There's where we got to go to God to find out what it really is. I say, the Scripture says, to him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. He was talking about saved people. He was talking about people that God had worked through. He was talking about who would have a better reason to think they stand. I prayed for people and they've got better. The Lord has anointed my ministry. All those things, I think I stand. Take heed. Take heed lest you allow something in your heart. You're miserable, you're blind, you're naked. Lord, have mercy on us as we go through this thing to be ever honest about who we are and what we are. Do you know it's possible to live for the Lord for 40 years and the devil come in and plant a seed of envy in your heart? Well, sure it is. I was years into my experience and all of a sudden I got bombarded and started feeling things like that. I had to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I wasn't an envious person in the world. Why am I feeling all these, feeling all this? Because I had a crevice. I had a crevice down in there that had never blossomed in my life. It had never come to full fruition. But it had, and it was coming out. Lord, why am I feeling and doing this? And I'm thinking things that I oughtn't be thinking. Why do I care? And the Lord was able to shine light on that. Here you go. But the Lord gives chance, and He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eye with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be jealous, therefore, and repent. So the Lord has a program. I want to turn back to the 95th Psalm. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In His hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. And I'm glad that that's in there. Because what if the Lord only could see it? And He didn't have any place to take you to. But the Lord not only sees those things, but He has a place to take you to. It's from victoryless life. I say it this way. Can you imagine, use an army for an example. Can you imagine an army that's about to fight a battle and they're down into a steep gorge? The army is at the bottom of a steep gorge. And the enemy's around them. You know, that would be a terrible military position. Down in the deep crevices is where your army's at. I want to tell you, that would be a maneuvering nightmare. It would be awful trying to always get victory, trying to fight the battle and come out on top, fighting from there. It'd be awful. But the Lord says that the deep places are in His hand, but He also has the hills. Now, from a military situation, you won't be on the hills. You take the hills. The top of the hills is the military strong point. It isn't, folks, there isn't an experience. I'm not going to try to say and encourage you that there's a life that you can go on and you're going to be free of battles. You're going to be free. You've arrived and there's no more battles to fight. There's no more struggles. There's nothing like that in fighting for the Lord. But there's a difference between always fighting from the bottom and fighting from the top. There's a difference from having the hill When you're fighting the devil and your enemy and they're always below you, you always got them in sight, you're always shooting at them, you've got a good position. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to give us a positional advantage in this revival. That's what He wants to do. He wants to get us up into a positional advantage. So we can fight the devil without this unseen things. Well, Lord, help us. If the devil can, years ago, I remember a couple minutes, actually it was Brother Herschel and Brother Kimball, went to the altar, and they counseled me, Brother, get it out in the light. When I went, they said, Brother, get it out in the light. The devil loves darkness. He'll wool you around in darkness. He loves darkness. Bring it out in the light, and he can't handle light. Just bring it out into the light. Do you know that's true? The devil loves the crevices and the cracks and all those things down deep. He loves to maneuver and work around there where nobody can see and do those things. Well, I want to tell you, God wants to bring us out of that place. He wants to bring us up to a place of victory, superiority. Yeah, you say, well, I won't have to fight envy anymore. Yeah, you will. From the top of the mountain. You'll see it coming. There comes envy again. He's below us. We got time to take care. We can work this out now because he ain't sneaking up on me. I know what it's about now. You understand what I'm saying? From under there, you don't know where it's coming from or what it's about. God wants to give us victories from the top of the hills. He can show us. He can show us beforehand. We have an understanding, an enlightenment. Marty Clevenger, you're just like your old grandpa. I can fight that now from the top of the hill. Because every time I want to snap and snarl, you're just like your grandpa. Lord, have mercy. Help me out. I see that coming. Otherwise, I'm right in my own eyes. I can snarl and snap and just be as right as I want to be. I can feel the envies and never have to do a thing about it. But not from the hill, I can't, because it's open out and I got a battle front now. I can fight this thing. We now have victories. It's a kind of place now on top of the hill that I can come down here and say, I got a problem. I got a problem, and the Lord's going to meet me and help me. You know, that's the kind of place that we confess our faults one to another, and I can stand up and say, I got a problem. So I'm on the hilltop now. I'm on the hilltop. I know what I've done, and I can testify about it. I got victory. I got victory coming. Oh, Brother Marty, the devil's really going to attack you. Yeah, that's right. But he's going to have to attack uphill to get here. Because now I'm up above it. I see and I understand. And I got something to fight for here. And the Lord's going to help us to get the victory. I got it in my mind. The Lord's been impressing me of not what things are, but what they can be. I got a vision of a livelier church. I got a vision in my mind. I've had it for a while. Of a livelier church where testimonies are real. Yeah. Where people want to sing specials. Yeah. Where now I'm going to say this. I've said it other places I went. I do this a lot. And usually if you have a half a week revival, you're really lucky to get one special song these days. It's true. It's just the truth. It's a symptom. It's a symptom. It's saying somebody ought to. Somebody ought to. So I'll ask the same question. What's the Lord got for you? What's the Lord got for you? Because the Lord's got something for everyone. I said, I got a vision in my heart of a lively, active church. And I'll say this, I said it other places. You know, there's nothing wrong with praising the Lord. I don't care who's abused it or done it wrong. There's nothing wrong with raising your hand and saying, thank the Lord. There's nothing wrong with saying, praise the Lord for that. God's been good. There's nothing wrong with having an active part in the service so you're alive. There's nothing wrong with it. As a matter of fact, there's everything right about it. Not because an act. Don't get me wrong. Not an act. But what is the crevices that's keeping us from doing it? Because something's down in the crevices. I can't dig it out. I don't see it. I can't make it happen. I don't know what it is. The Lord gives some inkling. Sometimes the world's pressing in. Or people's cares of life. Or something's happening. But God has the deep places in His hand. He knows. what they are. All together knows totally tonight what our places are. It's the only remedy for this in our life. Lord, help us. It starts individuals. If you're here tonight, I want to encourage you to say, I see the vision of that church that's lively, and I'm going to be one of the members. By the help and grace of God, I'm going to shuck off everything unlike God, and I'm going to embrace this thing, and I'm going to be a lively stone in the church of God. I'm going to be that, and I'm not going to look and say, this sister ain't doing it, and this ain't, so I ain't. No, I'm going to be that. If nobody else does, I'm going to be the lively stone. I want to be what God wants me to be. Lord, help us tonight. Take us from the depths to the heights with victory. You pray for me.